Welcome to the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, a show to help you shift away from the diet and dogma towards a whole and healthy life.
We're your hosts, Laura and Kezia, health coaches, cake lovers, and body positive warriors. Let's get the show started.
So in this episode of the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, I'm going to be talking about what the heck do you do when you suck at self-care. Yep. I know there's lots of stuff on the internet that's all really awesome, and we talk about it a lot here about self-care, what that looks like, what that means. But what do you do if you're really bad at it? What do you do if it feels really hard, if you feel like you never have the time, if it's just something you really struggle with, or if as soon as I even say the word self-care, maybe it triggers off a bunch of, ugh, just pull yourself together, get over it, move on, you know. And the reason that I know those thoughts so well is because I've had them, and I used to suck big time at self-care. So I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit of my journey and what we can do about it and how you can go deeper in your self-care journey and why on earth you'd want to do that. So if you've not already noticed, this is a solo episode from yours truly. And before we dive into today's show, just want to remind you guys, we still have some tickets available for our awesome retreat happening on the 29th of September to the 1st of October. We managed to get in a couple more tickets, which is really awesome. So there is tickets available, payment plans available. It's going to be based near Oxford. It's a 3-day luxury retreat. And it's going to be really, really fun. It's going to be a place for self-care, for going deep, for not just looking after yourself and resting, but also getting really equipped and empowered to live a life that's healthy, you know, live a life that where your nutrition is spot on, where you're eating really well, where you feel like you've got this, you know, endless energy and balance from a biochemical, spiritual, soul and mind point of view. You know, me and Laura together really come at it from all different angles. So we'd love to see you at the retreat. To find out more information, go to wholehealthylife.com/retreats and all the information will be there. Also, while you are on maybe your iPhone or on the computer and you're listening, we would love it if you subscribed to our iTunes channel and then left a little review. You just go to write a review within iTunes, just leave us a rating and let us know what you like about the show. We read all of them and we really take them all into consideration. So that would be wonderful. It would make both me and Laura really happy. It really would. So let's dive in to today's episode, and we're talking about self-care and what on earth do you do when you suck at it. And I'm laughing to myself here because this has just been such a journey for me, and it's still, to be honest, not something I am amazing at. You know, my fellow podcast co-host Laura is the bomb.com at self-care. She really is. She does it in a really balanced way. She tracks it and is, you know, it's really been on a journey herself through that, and I've learned loads from her, and it's something I'm constantly improving in, and I'm so much better than where I'm at. But I know that I used to really react to this whole idea of self-care. It used to be a trigger for me, and I just used to think, pull yourself together, grow a pair of whatever, and just deal with it. You know, self-care, schmelf-care, whatever, move on. And actually, I've really had to learn to make this a part of my day-to-day life. Looking after myself is actually really important. And to be honest, it's one of the most radical things that we can do. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story and my journey, just so you get a bit of context of where I'm coming from here. And then we're going to go deep into some really practical stuff that I've really learned to really help me grow in this and improve in my own self-care. So for me, a lot of the jobs that I first had, my first job was looking after the elderly, and I supported elderly people with things like dementia. That was my first job, age 16, and then I carried on probably for about 8 to 9 years of doing very much support work, care-based jobs. So at uni, I paid my way through uni by being a nursing assistant in a hospital for 4 years. So I was the tea lady, the toilet lady, the bed bath lady, the, you know, all the activities an untrained nurse would do, which is basically tea and toilets, and but not at the same time, thankfully. I worked with kids with learning difficulties, worked with adults with addictions and were homeless. I worked with offenders and, you know, lots of different groups of people. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is actually, although I loved those jobs and I really enjoyed them, I chose to do those jobs intentionally, it actually didn't help me in my journey of self-care, because I was constantly thinking that other people were more important than me, that other people's needs were just more valuable, that actually my job, that I should just get over myself and care about the person in front of me who was homeless or addicted. And now, in one respect, that is totally fine and true, but I basically used it as an excuse and to ignore myself, as an excuse to avoid my own pain and my own needs. I actually was rooted a lot of the time. My lack of self-care was rooted ultimately in arrogance, because I thought I was Wonder Woman and perfect. And you know what? I don't need anything from anyone. I'm fine, guys. You know what? I'm so fine that I'm going to help everyone around me because I'm so fine. You know, I'm so strong. I'm Wonder Woman. I'm resilient. I'm perfect. And you know, on the surface, that story can look like really, you know, nice. Oh, like, isn't Kezia nice? She worked with homeless people. That's lovely. And part of that did, you know, part of that is my genuine compassion. But there was an element, there is an element in relation to self-care and my resistance to engaging in a self-care practice that was actually rooted in arrogance. When I really took the time to look at it, it wasn't because I was some like Mother Teresa. It was because I wanted to prove to myself that I was okay. And I was so afraid to look at some of the broken parts in me that I just kind of covered it all up by looking after other people. Now, I can imagine that some of you listening to that, that's going to resonate with. You know, as women, we have an amazing capacity to nurture, care and pour out on other people's lives. And that is amazing. You know, that is amazing. You know, whatever it is you do, whether it's through mothering biological children or mothering people around you that, you know, you haven't given birth to, whether it's through care jobs like I had, whether it's maybe just in your office or in your family, we tend to be really good at that compassion, at nurturing and loving other people. And that's really amazing. That is part of our amazing, you know, God-given strengths, really. But it's really important that we take a little bit of time just to examine that full motivation. So for me, a lot of that motivation was my compassion, but there was a little bit there of this almost arrogance that I didn't need anyone's help, that I didn't need anything. I was completely independent, completely resilient, completely able to manage on my own. And it makes me laugh now because I've realized over the years that it's okay to need things, and actually self-care is really important. So that was the foundation that I really approached self-care from. But even within those jobs, so within those care-based jobs, I saw this pattern of people, of nurses, of support workers, of people running these charities who did an amazing job, but I would slowly see them drop off and burn out. They would do it for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and then they would kind of drop off. They'd burn out. They'd end up with fatigue. They'd end up with health problems, depression, things like this. And it was because they were stuck in the same cycle that I was in. So I was able to see this cycle before I ended up in it head first. I could see that this behavior, this lack of self-care, leads to burnout. It leads to sometimes sickness. It leads to depression at times. And to be fair, I hit my own little burnout with that. I was diagnosed depressed in my early 20s. And I've had various points in my life when I feel like I've hit a mild burnout. And then I could also see these patterns around me. And that was really when I realized something had to shift. And I also realized with my own physical health as well, with the whole journey I've been on with that around the fatigue and the joint issues and the gut health issues and the diarrhea and the thrush and the hormones and the, you know, everything else, that whole journey, I realized that actually looking after my health from a physical point of view meant I had to engage in some sort of self-care practice. You know, I wasn't just going to wake up one morning and suddenly be like, oh my goodness, everything in my health has changed completely overnight and all my choices are suddenly different. Actually, it was something I needed to engage with. So that's a little bit of my journey when it comes to self-care. And I'll be really honest, my self-care journey started with me noticing these patterns in other people within, especially this kind of care sector jobs. And also it started with me looking after my physical health. And as I engaged in looking after my physical health and healing my body more and more, I then realized the full spectrum of what self-care can look like. Self-care isn't just about what you eat. It's also about how you think, what you believe about yourself, how you sleep. It's about your home, your environment, your words. It's about your time. It's about saying no. It's about your calendar. It's about your relationships. It's about how you're surrounding yourself and who you're surrounding yourself with. So if you think you maybe resonate with some of the stuff that I've said and you're like, oh, geez, okay, I think I suck at self-care. Or maybe you really are trying to engage in some sort of self-care practice, but you're just finding it really hard. You just feel like you're coming up against obstacles with it. Then I want to share with you just a couple of things that I found really, really useful when it comes to my own journey, when it comes to growing it, your own self-care practice and growing in really strengthening yourself. And when we're talking about self-care, this isn't bubble baths and candles and spa days, although it can involve that thing. This is really about you pouring into yourself. This is really about you ensuring you manage you, that you're strong, that there's a resilience in you, that there is healing and strength to you. This is about you pouring into your cup, making sure your cup is full so that you can pour into other people, so that you can remain healthy and happy and impact the people around you in a really positive manner. This isn't self-care for self-care's sake, although there's nothing wrong with that. This is actually so that you can be in a place of strength so that you can do the things you're created to do here on this planet. You know, if you're in a place of depletion, if you're in a place where you're just drained and there's not that strength within you, then you're not going to be able to do all the awesome things that I know you've been made to do. Those unique things that only you can do, that those unique jobs, projects, words, relationships that only you can have. So it's really, really important. Self-care is not about being selfish. Actually, it's one of the most selfless things that you can do in terms of looking after yourself so you can impact the people around you from a really positive and amazing place. So I suppose that's kind of number one. I had to change my attitude around self-care. I thought self-care was selfish and I had to reframe that. I had to ditch that belief. I had to ditch that way of thinking and intentionally reprogram my brain into thinking that self-care is actually about me being able to serve others well. And that took some unwiring. And it still does. It's still something that comes up in my brain where I think, oh, Kezia, you're so selfish saying no to that thing tonight. And actually, you're going to spend the night in the bath or baking some brownies. You could be doing X, Y, and Z and helping X, Y, and Z. You know, I still do that. Still thought this still come up in my brain. And I have to bop it on the head. It's like one of those machines that you bop the things down where I go, you know what? No, I want to be really healthy and strong so that I can give my best to other people. And that sometimes that means saying no to other people. So number one, do you need to change your attitude around self-care? Do you need to reframe it? Do you need to replace your beliefs around self-care? Do you think self-care is selfish? Do you think it's a waste of time, a waste of money? If you do, then you've really got to change that and start thinking about self-care as a selfless act, as something that the world needs you to do. in order for you to show up, in order for you to love well, in order for you to serve well, in order for you to bring all that light that you carry and bring it into other people's lives. So that's number one, change your beliefs around self-care. The next thing is to really ask the question, why? I love the word why. I use it all the time with my one-to-one clients, you know, and they come to me and they're like, I'm so fatigued. And I'm like, okay, well, my job with you is to look at why. Why are you fatigued? Why have you got IBS? Why have you got chronic fatigue? Why have you got this? Why are your hormones out of balance? But it works not just with our physical symptoms, but our whole lives. Why do you suck at self-care? If you feel like you suck at it, or you find it a real struggle, why? Why is it hard? Why do you find it difficult? The most common things are people are like, I don't have time. Kezia, my life's busy. We've got job, this, blah, 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 blah. I don't have time for self-care. That's often a really, really common one. And the second one is that it's often a whole lot deeper, but it's because people don't think they're worth it. They don't think they deserve to take that time. They don't think they deserve to say no. They don't think they deserve to protect themselves, invest in themselves, manage themselves, look after themselves. So let's look at those two things on the head. Number one being you don't have time for self-care. I was having a conversation with Gemma from Celery and Cupcakes the other day, and she has this phrase, which I think is brilliant. She's like, if you have time for screen time, then you have time for self-care. So if you spend time in your day mindlessly scrolling Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, whatever it is, you have time for self-care. We have this kind of misconception in our head that self-care requires hours, that it requires a spa day, it requires a bath, it requires an hour-long massage. No, but self-care can start with a minute. It can start with you taking 1 minute to breathe, 1 minute to laugh, 1 minute to just connect with a friend. It can literally take a minute. And if you have time to scroll mindlessly through stuff, you have time for self-care. You really, really do. And ultimately, we make time for the things that are important to us. So if you're not important to you, then you'll not make time for yourself. And that links with number two, which is really, do you think you're worth it? Do you think you deserve this? Do you think you're worth pouring into? Do you like yourself? Do you think you're worth loving? And I know, guys, I've gone deep. I've gone right in there, right to the balls of the matter. But it's important to talk about it. You know, if you struggle with self-care and if you think, I don't have time for this, Kezia, then potentially what you're saying is, I don't think I'm worth this. Because we invest time in the things that are valuable to us. So if you're not investing time into you, are you valuable? Are you valuing yourself? Are you valuing your health, your mental health? Are you valuing your energy? Are you valuing the unique gifts that you bring into the world? Are you valuing who you are? And I know for me that everything, my whole issue around self-care and finding it hard was really because I didn't value myself. It was deep stuff. It was things around feeling like a failure, feeling like I was never good enough, feeling like I was never enough, feeling like other people mattered more than me. And that was really at the crux of it. So I didn't make time for self-care. I didn't want to invest in it. I just kind of scoffed at it and took, you know, just thought it was ridiculous. But what I was really doing was hiding from the uncomfortable fact that I was uncomfortable with me. That I was uncomfortable with some of those deep beliefs and values I had about myself. And I can imagine some of you listening will be listening to this and thinking, holy smokes, I think that's it. And so, first of all, it's okay. It's okay to realize those things. It's okay to feel those things. There's no judgment around how you feel. But it's so valuable to highlight and recognize why. Why is self-care hard for you? Why do you find it hard? And what does that really mean? Is it because you don't value who you are? Is it because you don't make time for it? And why don't you make time for it? Asking why is one of the most powerful things we can do. So that's kind of number two, is going in deep and asking yourself why. Why is this hard? And for me, a couple of practical tips that have helped me in processing those things have been things like free writing, where I just write this almost stream of consciousness about how I'm feeling. I don't censor it. I don't try and make sense of it. I don't try and spell things correctly or do good grammar. I just do this free writing, this kind of channeling, and which from my belief system, really look at it as almost like God speaking through me as I write, but you don't have to believe in God to do it. It's just free writing, this free process that's helped me to uncover what I'm really thinking, because I'm not censoring myself and I'm not thinking too hard about what I'm writing. And that's been a really helpful thing for me, of looking at why and really processing that as well. Now, number three. So we've looked, if you've shifted your mindset around things and you've gone deep into looking at why it's a struggle, now it's time to get super practical. Because this, to be honest, has always been something that's bugged me about self-care, is that it just always seems this kind of like vague, look after yourself kind of vibe. And I was like, yeah, but guys, what the heck does that mean? Like, what does that mean on a Tuesday afternoon? What does that mean? What does that look like? I'm a very practical person. And some of my resistance was around the fact that it just didn't seem tangible enough. So let's look at some of the really practical things that you can do if you suck at self-care, or if you're just wanting to grow in your self-care practice. So something that I think find really, really helpful is to think of the small things you can do. So for me, I do really enjoy a bath. So a couple of times a week, I'll schedule in a good 45-minute hot bath with Epsom salts, bentonite clay, essential oils, some plinkety plonkety music, and a good book. But in the day to day, I focus on the small things. So for me, like this morning, it's a beautiful sunny day here. If it's a sunny outside in the morning, I'll make time for a little walk, just to get outside, get some sunlight on my face, help with my circadian rhythm. That's a small little section of self-care. Throughout the day, I'll also take time to do breathes. Big in through the nose, out through the mouth breaths. Just 5 or 6 deep breaths in the day. That takes me about 30 seconds to do. I do that just to help look after my nervous system and shift my body into a more parasympathetic state, which is really important. I also make sure the environments that I'm in have some beautiful things in. So for me, I'll often go to Lidl or Aldi, buy myself some cheap flowers on my weekly shop, and I'll always try to have some flowers in my home somewhere. Now, the guys, these aren't like, I'm not getting boutique, you know, bespoke bouquets delivered to my house that cost 50 quid every week. Although, guys, one day, that's the goal. I'm not going to lie. At the moment, it's a £2.50 bunch of roses from Lidl. But having something beautiful in front of me, for me personally, really helps me to feel really rich and really wealthy and really looked after and cared for. It's a really small thing. So, but the flowers might not be your thing. That's totally fine. But it's having some physical things in your environment that can really, really help. So maybe you have an office desk at work. Maybe you put some plants there, or maybe a beautiful photo or a print, or maybe a really beautiful cushion on your chair, on your desk chair. Maybe it's having some really lovely images or music or smells, you know, maybe an essential oil diffuser on your desk at work, you know, whatever it is, small things that will just trigger off good thought processes and make you feel like, yeah, I'm investing in me. These are really little things that don't have to be big. Like the other month, I had a voucher and I bought a really nice desk lamp. And that's a small thing. But when I look at my lamp now, I just love it. It's nicely designed. It's a cool color. And so setting up your environment can be a really, really practical thing, whether it's flowers, plants, prints, smells, sounds, whatever works for you and for your senses. I find that really, really, really helpful. Another thing, practical-wise, it's good to do is to put things in your calendar. You know, if you really struggle to go for that walk, to see a friend for coffee, to meditate, to go to the gym, to whatever it is, put it in your calendar. Put you time, put self-care time in your calendar, whether it's a bath, whether it's meditating. You know, I have my mornings blocked out in my calendar because my mornings are my time for me. That's when I journal, it's when I pray, it's when I walk, it's when I move, it's when I make a healthy breakfast, it's when I prepare really good dinners and food for the week and make things like bone broth. And, you know, my mornings I block out on my calendar. At least I'll maybe have one morning a week when I see clients, but the rest of them is my self-care time. It's looking after me. And that sometimes means cleaning the toilet or sorting out, organizing, you know, but it's putting it in your calendar. It's really, really important. And finally, when it comes to practical things, it's really doing what lights you up. If you don't like getting a massage, then don't friggin' get one. If you don't like having a bath, then don't have a bath. If you don't like flowers, don't buy flowers. Do the things that light you up. Do what lights you up. So for me, I'm a total geek. If you don't know this already, I'm a total nutrition science geek. So recently, I have invested in an infrared sauna blanket. I had some money left over from Christmas, and I've been researching it, and I just really wanted to get one of these things. So now, part of my new self-care routine is lying and sweating it out in this infrared sauna blanket. I'm sure I'll do a whole episode just on infrared sauna in the future, because I'm like a week in and it's already like changed my life. But it's doing what lights you up. Like I've had to give myself permission recently just to embrace the geeky side of myself, just to embrace the fact that I want to spend money on geeky things like that. But you have permission to invest time and resources and money in the things that light you up. And that might be getting a personal trainer, that might be joining the gym, it might be sewing, it might be knitting, it might be a magazine, it might be going roller skating, whatever it is. But do what lights you up. There's no prescription for this. There's no, you have to do this, you have to do that. Hopefully some of the ideas I've shared with you will give you some inspiration, so feel free to try them. But as you go into the self-care journey, you'll really learn more about yourself and what you need to really, really thrive and feel awesome. So if you want to know more about the self-care stuff, then Laura has tons of awesome resources on her website, which is wholeheartedlyhealthy.com. And so I'll put some links to that in the show notes. But I really would encourage you, if you really find self-care difficult, go through this process. First, change your mindset around it. Start thinking of self-care as a selfless activity, not a selfish one. Number two, really go deep and ask yourself why you find it hard, why you find it hard to do, and keep on asking yourself why until you uncover a core belief or value that you have. And then you can question if you want to keep investing in that belief and value. And number three is get practical. Put it in your diary and start small. Start with the small things, the breathing, and changing your environment, figuring out what lights you uniquely up. And I found for me that these things have been super helpful. So a good kind of testimonial of that is the last couple of months have been a bit mental for me running my business and doing my master's, both of those things full time. And it's been busy and it's full and my brain is tired, but I've not gotten to that completely burnt-out stage because I've realized the power of self-care. I've realized the power of actually going and resting for an hour rather than plugging away at an essay. I've recognized the power of going for a walk for 15 minutes rather than forcing myself to answer my client emails. You know, it actually makes you more productive, more articulate, and more able and to do your work and the things that you need to do in your day-to-day and to make them sustainable. So I hope this has really helped you out. If you have any questions about this, then head over to our Instagram, which is wholehealthylive.com at Instagram. Otherwise, make sure you join our retreat and head over there. If you have any questions at all or things you would like to see on the podcast, then do let us know what they are. Otherwise, have a brilliant, beautiful day. Know that you're enough. Know that you're worth it. And I can't wait to speak to you next week. Lots of love. Bye.